by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Summertime is upon us. It is full-on summer. Officially, I can say that it's summer. And, Janet, that means that there is a lot of opportunity for folks all over the state to get involved with a lot of different things. And maybe one of those things is driving around and checking out some of the wildlife.
That is right. You know, it is, we talk about Wyoming and how fantastic of a place it is to live year-round. But this time of year is really fantastic for our wildlife lovers and appreciators and those folks who love to get out and do some wildlife watching. I had my Merlin app on the other day, even as I was here in town in Casper, walking along the parkway, identifying all the different birds and species that are out there right now. And it's a pretty fantastic time, Drew. Just what an exciting time to see all the green coming out, all of the newborns around and wildlife abundance upon us.
Now, what is this Merlin app you're talking about?
Oh, it's this app that you can download, and it listens to songs by birds, and then it helps you identify them. So if you're like me and you can't ever see anything anymore, you can at least listen and hear, although maybe half of our listeners can't really listen either. So it just depends on how many firearms maybe you've shot in your life. And so it's always a challenge. Like if, you know, you're in an area like a riparian area or an area right around a river or lake or pond where there are a ton of different calling birds and you don't know which is which, there you go. You use this app. It can identify it. It'll spit out all of the potential birds that it hears. And then you're like, hey, that is it. It was a red-winged blackbird, which happens to be my ringtone as well. So
it's the Shazam of nature.
Hey, there you go. I love it. For those of us who know Shazam, it is the Shazam of nature.
Yeah. So basically what it is, Shazam is the same thing. If you're sitting in a bar or restaurant and there's a song playing, you can hit your Shazam app and it'll tell you what song it is. So it's kind of the same thing. And if you're not a techie, it's something for you to dive into because every app you can get like that is, man, it's so beneficial to helping you know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. You know, some other ones for those folks who are foliage lovers, love the plants and everything. There's one called Seek. And so you can take a picture of it even offline in the backcountry and it will help you identify, you know, the wildflower that you're looking at or the grass species. It is all pretty fantastic. And, you know, there's some pretty wild ones that you can run into if you're exploring new and different places that maybe you haven't seen before. And I love talking to some of the snowbirds that we have in Wyoming who, you know, come back and share their experiences that maybe they saw in Arizona or, you know, Nevada, those places that they all head during the winter. And it is so cool for them to come back and be like, look at all these new cactus species that I found. I didn't realize we also had these here. And they've got the pictures and it's a pretty fantastic deal. So if you're not aware of some of these things, check them out.
Yeah. We talk a lot about how technology really has advanced a lot of things. That's hiking and camping and being in the outdoors too. And it's so cool with all the access areas that Wyoming has and the opportunities to get out and explore that you can use these tools. And one of the things, like we had mentioned earlier, you know, getting out and being able to see the wildlife and knowing where you're going and what kind of an area you're into. And it wasn't but just last week that there was the incident in the Bighorns where an angler was out fishing and came in contact with a cow moose. Well, the moose got a little irritated at the angler and charged, and the angler had to defend himself. And when the moose died, there were two little babies that also had to be put down because of this interaction. And that's what we're really talking about is it may not just be you messing with a baby, but you could be messing with two babies or an entire family. That's three moose now in Bighorns that aren't there anymore because of this situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, in these situations where Let's say that that particular incident that you just used, you know, it wasn't an intentional act. You kind of were out there and you got startled as you were fishing in the willows. And anybody who's ever fished on the North Tongue knows that those willows are 10, 12 feet high, right? Like, it is the most amazing moose habitat. I have never seen as many moose as I see on the North Tongue in the Bighorn Mountains. It's just amazing. But the chances of being out there fishing on that waterway and encountering a moose are nearly 100%. And so knowing that going in and being prepared is, I think, very much a smart move. And having things like bear spray. Again, we talk about, you know, that pepper spray, that capsaicin that is in bear spray will affect any animal that has mucous membranes, eyes, nose, mouth, all of that, and it will burn and it will deter them.
Another thing that you need to keep in mind is where you are when you're watching these animals, because, you know, with Onyx and some of the new map systems, you can tell if you're on private or public land, federal land, state land. So you got to watch that. Just because you see a deer in a field or a pasture does not mean that you can cross that fence and walk over there and see it closer. So it really is all falling under the ethics side of animal viewing.
Absolutely. And you nailed a lot of things right there that, you know, knowing where you are is a key. And, you know, the Wyoming Game and Fish Department does not manage wildlife in Yellowstone National Park. And something seems to happen when people enter Yellowstone National Park. It's almost like sometimes maybe folks think that they're kind of in a zoo and they forget that this is still a wild place. We don't control the animals there. The National Park Service does not control the animals there. And so this is often where we hear about some of these crazy events that go down, like flying a drone over an osprey nest or getting gored by bison, you know, these things that happen. And so keeping in mind that, you know, no matter where you are, whether you're in a place that is public land like Yellowstone National Park, federal land, and you can be out walking and exploring and be close to nature, or if you're on private land, or if you're on the river walk next to town, it is always important to be mindful of all of the wildlife around you.
Yeah, it's one of the great things that we have in Wyoming that people ask me why it's so fascinating to, you know, like to watch moose or elk or a large herd of deer or antelope. Wyoming is one of those rare states where it's possible. You know, you get to the eastern part of the country, you may see a deer, you may see a black bear, and as elk are starting to branch out, you may see that, but you're not seeing it all within a 2 or 3 mile span. That's the great part of living in Wyoming, but you have to use your mind and your brain when checking all this stuff out.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, all of these things that we're talking about today happen because people love wildlife, right? They're not thinking at the worst thing that might happen. And so, for example, when we talk about osprey and or any type of bird, a golden eagle, a bald eagle, a small songbird that you might find a nest and you're flying a drone or you're continually peeking in it to see how the babies are growing, which we're all guilty of, you know, like I do that often myself, but flying a drone over an osprey nest to see what is happening can be very detrimental to those animals that are nesting, right? Think about the disturbance a foreign object like that would have.
You know, just like the warning label on a pill bottle, it's there because someone once did whatever the warning is. So that's where this comes in, is just a reminder, just like that warning label, that using the ethics when you're viewing all of these wildlife, whether it's birds, whether it's, you know, creatures or, you know, big game, keep it in mind to be ethical and really use your head on that.
One of the things that I often go back to when I talk to people about this ethical viewing is the word harassment. And wildlife harassment is illegal, right? Like it is, we will fine you. We will give you tickets. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department, if it observes harassment, will do that. And we kind of define that as if your behavior changes their behavior, right? So if whatever you're doing makes the animal act differently, then that's considered harassment. And that includes, you know, use of drones. That includes riding on your side by side. If you're out and you start chasing the antelope and you're watching them run and they're beautiful runners, or you're clocking how fast they run, those sorts of things are actually harassment. And the one thing that we always kind of forget are our pets, you know, our dog. Chasing wildlife is absolutely harassment. And so, you know, people need to remember your actions, if they change the behaviors of their actions or of their behaviors, is considered harassment. So keeping that in mind is something that we will often go back to.
One thing that I know that we talk a lot about, and really it's part of, I guess, our ethical conversation, but hunter education is something that, to hunt in Wyoming, you have to have hunter education courses. You have to have that certificate that shows that you've been through a program like that. And now is a great time that if you have youngsters, you know, we're talking about the wildlife babies, but if your babies are getting to the age where maybe they're a little bit curious about wildlife or hunting or being in the outdoors, having a hunter education course and taking it even as a whole family is a great idea.
Absolutely. And that's how we ended up doing it, Drew, was as a whole family. My boys were quite a bit older, but I was trying to wait for my younger one to be, you know, so that she could understand it and be a part of it as well. And depending on who is teaching the course, you know, all of our instructors are volunteer instructors. But depending on who's teaching that course, you can spend quite a bit of time on the ethics of hunter ed. And so what a great opportunity to have fantastic discussions with people in the room. And oftentimes in classes that I sit through, we talk a lot about distance, right? What is a safe distance to harvest an animal? If you're shooting a mile, you know, is that ethical? What, you know, how good of a shot are you? You know, all of those things come into play and are fantastic. And hunter safety is something that is offered year round, but this is the most fantastic time to take it, right? We have a lot of classes being offered. You will have to have it in the field by the time you hunt this fall. So if you put in and you learned just last week, whether you love us or hate us, and learned what the results were of the draw, you will need to have your hunter safety card if you were born 1969 or later. So make sure that you know that.
Yeah, and obviously you can go to wgfd.wild.gov. The education section goes through every step you need to take to get your family enrolled. And I say family, you don't have to do it as a family, but it is a definite cool option and a great option. And the reason that it's so in-depth is what we said earlier today is Wyoming has way more wildlife than many states in the United States. You know, you get some states, you may see a deer here or there or a turkey once in a while, but here you get to see it all. So it really is a great opportunity for you. Again, wgfd.wyo.gov. And Janet, I know it's been a lot of information today, but I think it's all information that people need a refresh of because we're to that time of year.
Absolutely. Just don't forget to think about things. And if anyone has any questions or concerns at any time, don't hesitate to give us a call.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, Brian, we were really kind of excited about this time of year because people are now getting hunting into their minds. You know, the draw has happened, and now guys are like, okay, this is serious.
Well, Thursday this week was like Christmas for some, and I don't even know what to explain. Say it was for the other people that didn't draw, but all the draw results for elk, antelope, and deer came out this week, and there's some people we talked to, you know, that came in that said, "Man, my family drew 14 yeah. tags," and you talked to some other ones are like, "Yeah, we went 0 for 6."
Yeah, so those are like the kids that got the coal in the stocking, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, for no apparent reason, just except for bad luck.
Right, and that's with the lottery, the draw. That's kind of how it goes. But he was excited, and he walked in. He's like, "All right, I got to get a new rifle, Brian, and can you show me this rifle? And, oh, I better get a new bow, or maybe I'll just get my bow restrung. Maybe I'll get a new bow. Oh, I really got to think about it. I don't like this bow, but I really like this bow." So, like that's the mindset now. Everybody's, like, frantic.
Well, yeah, and this is the time to really think about it, you know. So if we've got a bunch of the new bows in stock, so now's the time to, you know, come down, give yourself an hour or so where you can come in and just shoot all the different ones we've got in there. We've got all the new Hoyts, all the new Matthews. There's a handful of Dartons and Bear Archery. So there's lots of options to look at and lots to shoot, a lot of good new accessories on the sights and that type of stuff. But we have a 20-yard range where, you know, you can come in, you can play around with releases and what scopes and all that kind of stuff and sights you want to use. You know, and now's the time to, you know, if you are going to keep, you know, last year's bow, now's a good time to get those restrung, because it does take a little bit of time to order strings. Mm-hmm. And if you wait till in season, you very well might, you know, put yourself out of the chance of getting a new string if you wait till, you know, the week before.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the releases and sights, because that's one of the parts of bow hunting that a lot of people don't really think about as much. But if you have big hands, you don't want a smaller release. Mm-hmm. If you have small hands, you don't want too big of a release. So really, the options are unlimited. And if you walk through the archery department, you're going to be a little overwhelmed and doing a little research. And, you know, consideration, I think, is good.
Well, and I know myself, as you know, as I've gotten older, my vision hasn't been as good. And, you know, with the technology and the bow sights now, they can put clarifiers or, you know, different enhancements in the peeps so that clears the picture up for mm-hmm. you as you're looking at those sights. So, you know, if you're having some of those issues, come in and talk to Evan. He's one of the best bow techs, you know, in the country probably, and he'll definitely guide you towards, you know, what you may need or what might help you. You know, as far as the rifles and stuff too, I mean, there's a lot of great new calibers out and a lot of new, Weatherby has got some really, really fantastic rifles out now. And so now's a good time to kind of check and see what you like, what calibers you might need. You know, maybe you drew a sheep tag this year and you want to switch up your caliber from your traditional elk, you know, caliber. Come and take a look. There's a lot of good options.
I've been checking out the Weatherby site. They're having a film festival in August, so I've been kind of researching up on that. Mm-hmm. And when you go to a site like that, you have to look at the guns that they have. And
right.
the history of that company, you know, they started in California as a sporting goods store.
Right.
And then in 2018, they moved here. And since they moved here, I think they kind of have a better perspective of what Wyoming hunters really need, because Adam goes out and hunts right here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that whole family has done a lot of hunting over the years. However, being in the country, you know, being out west yeah. and kind of experiencing, you know, the type of terrain and, you know, the packability that we're looking for in rifles because of, you know, how far we're having to walk into these sites. I think it's important, and they really have got some great guns. Like the 307 Hush rifle has been one of the more popular ones that we've been selling as it's kind of a standalone just hunting rifle. And then, of course, the caliber is up to you. But they've done a fantastic job, and they're a great company, family-owned, and they're local. I mean, it's great to be able to buy a gun that's stamped Sheridan, Wyoming.
Yeah, and it's just like the Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, Wyoming-owned and operated. You know, it's right here. You can go to their the shop up there and kind of walk through.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, of course, you know, we have a great relationship with Weatherby. And so, you know, you don't have to make the drive to Sheridan if you are looking for a specific gun. If we don't have it in one of our stores, you know, we're able to get that gun usually pretty quick.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you mentioned packing in, packing out. That's another thing you could probably look at this point, too. And that's hunt packs, mm-hmm. because, you know, maybe you do have a gun that's a little different and it doesn't fit in like your gun did before. getting a new one is always a good idea.
I tell you what, when I first moved to Wyoming 21 years ago, we had a package got misdelivered to one of my neighbor's houses. And when I first met my neighbor, I knocked on the door and he's all sweating and he's got a backpack on. I said, "What in the heck are you doing?" He goes, "I got 60 pounds of bricks in my backpack and I'm going up and down the stairs getting in shape for elk season." And I'm like, "Now this guy is diehard." You know? But you know, for one, you got to get yourself in shape, you know, and summertime, you know, is nice because you can be outside and you know. But, you know, of course, cheeseburgers always taste pretty good in the summertime along with those brats. But, you know, now's the time to find it, you know, come through, take a look at the packs, figure out what size you think you want that's going to hold, you know, whatever type of hunting you're going to be doing. We don't all need a big pack that's going to carry a backpack and a tent and all that kind of stuff. A lot of us get away with smaller day packs. But the other thing that we've talked about a lot in the past is, you know, getting those boots on the ground, you know, and, you know, you got to break those boots in. You got to put some time in them. You want to make sure they fit right and that they're not going to give you blisters. You know, you can't just throw on a pair and say, "I'm going elk hunting today."
Yeah. You know, one of the worst parts about that in the summer is you almost have to wear the socks that you're going to wear during the winter with those boots. And that may be hot.
It can be, but like with technology of some of these merino wool socks and stuff, I mean, I wear a thin wool sock year round, whether I'm going hunting or I'm in just day use. So that part, you know, hopefully isn't as bad. But you know, get those hours on those feet in the evening hours when the sun starts going down, and get your last 45 minutes of the day in, and get those boots broken in.
I was talking to a marathon runner the other day, and they were like, "Oh yeah, your shoes, they only have a certain amount of miles in them." And they were like, 200 miles and you're supposed to be done. I'm like, you know, a hiking boot, a hunting boot, you're just getting started at 50 to 60 miles.
Yeah, it's kind of like breaking in a diesel truck. You know, someone says, "Oh, you only got 200,000? Oh, yeah, you're just broke that engine in.
Yep. Well, get in here and get yourself broken in for hunting seasons. And obviously, you know, we're still midsummer, so we haven't even started summer until this weekend.
Right.
So fishing is still very popular and ongoing right now, and I've heard that the guys on the river are catching pretty good, and things are looking good on Glendo as well.
Yeah, Glendo Pathfinder. I talked to a guy the other this week that said he caught 55 fish out of Pathfinder. And I know Boisen has been filling up pretty quickly. The runoff has been really strong there the last few weeks. And talked to guys that have been out there; they're being successful there as well. So, now's the time. Of course, we got 4th of July coming up here, so that's a great time to. Kind of, it's almost middle of the season, it seems like, you know, because by the time in July, then August, then school starts and kids are back in, and summer's gone pretty quickly. But yeah, the fishing's still been great, and we've got, you know, a lot of the great electronics. You know, Hummingbird came out with their new Explorer series, and we're seeing a lot of guys that are just kind of updating some old graphs and really happy with the new technology that's out there.
Well, if you're interested, come on by and check them out right here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, or as always, if maybe you're thinking about a new Weatherby or a new rifle for the season, you can go to RockyMountainSports.com, see what's in stock, and make sure you always check here because it may be a little different online as it is here.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Groom Brian back. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, so thanks again for tuning in. And always remember, if you missed any of our shows over the last 4 years, you can flash back and check out any of those shows, any of the stuff we've talked about, you know, any of the guests we've had, you can hear there. And we are to the point where I believe August 15th marks the 4-year point.
It's amazing how fast it has gone. It seems like, you know, we just kind of started this, but there's always so much good stuff to talk about. We live in a great state where the outdoors is so important to us that it's been a fun ride.
You know, a little later on the show here, we're going to talk to some folks because one of the big topics that has been going on for the last couple of months, 3 or 4 months, is the public lands. We're going to get an insight on what that's looking like. But, you know, now that, you know, we're kind of got that in our mind, you know, the hunting draw was this past week. And for some, it was not that good. Like we were talking a little bit earlier, there were families that drew 14 different tags. And, and you know, like you and me, I didn't draw nothing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I got the cow tag that I could have bought at a reduced price, but I paid full price for it. So.
Yeah, right. do you think that guys are really, like, mentally kind of upset over this? I've seen a lot of chatter online where, you know, the guys are like, how can I go 4 years in a row and not draw that tag?
Oh, I've got friends that have, you know, not drawn an elk tag in 12 or 13 years. And, you know, they've complained to the Game and Fish about wanting to change their sportsman's ID number because they think it's that number just isn't going to get randomly drawn ever. Yeah. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of people that are upset. You know, there's a lot to do in Wyoming. And obviously, I mean, I didn't draw my bull tag this year. And so, you know, to me, I just look at it as an opportunity to spend more time on the water in the fall and maybe a little more bird hunting. So.
Right. Well, and there is the option, you know, the leftover tags, like over the next few weeks, mm-hmm. you can put in for that leftover secondary draw. And there's some areas where you can get the over-the-counter general tags. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so there's still opportunity for some folks. But then, you know, there's just frustration that kind of sets in.
Well, there are different options. I mean, obviously, everybody has their kind of favorite honey hole that they like to, you know, put in for, whether, you know, right. you're a Casper resident and you want to be up on Muddy Mountain or Area 7 or the Rattlesnakes or someplace close or Shirley's. But those, you know, those areas are also just high demand and very popular areas to get to. They are convenient, but and there's not a lot of, you know, general areas that are really close to Casper. So, you know, mm-hmm. most people are having to go south towards Saratoga encampment areas. There's a couple areas north of town, but you know that everybody kind of gets into their habit. And to me, you know, getting the draw just kind of gets me in that mindset where now I can plan, you know, now I'm like, okay, who else drew a tag? Who am I going to hang out with? Are we going to camp? Are we going to get a hotel? Are we, right. going to do day trips or what are we going to do? And that kind of creates some of the excitement of actually elk hunting, you know, and get that planning and all that kind of stuff. So, not a great disappointment that I didn't draw. I was fortunate to draw last year and I got a nice little bull out of there. But yeah, I mean, it's a mindset, and I mean, there's obviously some general areas, so that, you know, those of us that didn't draw our bull tags still have that opportunity to, you know, get out there, you know, in a general area.
You know, you mentioned you didn't draw, so now you can stay on the water a little longer, and fishing this summer is, well, it's, again, I keep saying summer, because I always feel like summer is Memorial Day weekend, you mm-hmm, know,
right.
technically it's not till this weekend, right. but, you know, as the summer has been progressing on, I think we went through a good phase of good fishing, and then things kind of tapered off a little bit, the water was fluctuating in different areas, and now I think it seems like it's pretty hot again.
You know, it is what it is. You know, fishing is a lot like elk hunting in terms of, like, you know, there's fish in the water, right? You just can't see them. Kind of like looking at a mountainside and knowing that there's elk up there somewhere, but you can't see them in the trees or they're bedded down. And so you got to, you know, you got to work for them. And, you know, reservoirs like Glendo, we've been spoiled over the years. I mean, some of, you know, I talked to some guys last week, and I think I even mentioned this last week, you know, and talked to some guys who are like, oh, man, it was horrible. We only caught 15 fish today. I'm like, 15 fish is actually a pretty good day. Yeah. That's, you know, it's like one fish an hour. I mean, maybe that's a lot, you know, not a lot. But and in the past, we've been spoiled with, you know, 50 and 60 fish days, you know. I mean, so I can understand, you know, some people. But also, you know, the reservoir systems is kind of what protects our waters and to some degree, and especially like Glendo, where that water rises, you know, the bushes and trees all get flooded, you know, there's more bug growth, the minnows start, you know, hatching inside those bushes, and a lot of those fish are just in shallow, and they're hidden into those bushes, and mm-hmm. not very many people like fishing that way. You know, they'd rather just grab a worm harness and drag on a sandy shoreline where they're not getting snagged up and they're not getting in the bushes. And you know, a guy has to kind of work at it, and every day's been a little bit different at Glendo. The water's been rising so fast, and I think this next week they're supposed to start letting water go back through it. They got some repair work below the dam repaired, so I think water will start flowing again. But it's going to change how that fishes again. And, you know, I love the fall fishing because the water usually kind of stabilizes. The farmers are kind of done drawing the reservoir down. It stables out a little bit. And the other nice part is there's not nearly as many people down there, you know. So guys are hitting the field. They're, you know, whether they're bird hunting or elk hunting.
Yeah.
Or they just, you know, are fair weather fishermen and they want to be out there in 80 degree weather. The fall fishing can be fantastic. And, you know, not a lot of people and not a lot of traffic. And the fishing tends to be pretty good.
You know, myself, I prefer when we go out like in early May or September, October, when it's not as hot in the middle of the day.
Right.
I mean, we go out there a couple of weeks ago in the middle of June and it's, you know, 95 degrees. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I feel like a hot dog on a grill.
You know, there's a little difference in the style of fishing, like you were talking. The guys that want to fill their freezer and the guys that want the mount for the wall, you know. And really, I think a lot of the frustration comes from those guys that are looking for those bigger fish because there's been a lot of fish limits caught over the last few weeks.
Well, the you know, Game and Fish has had a biologist down there doing some creel surveys, and you know, we had seven or eight keepers the other day, and she's like, "Boy, that's the most fish I've seen come in on the dock today." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I guess we didn't do too bad."
Yeah.
You know, but we're catching a lot of little fish also, and that, you know, that's good for the future of that fishery. There's a lot of 13, 14, 15 inch fish. So it's good to see those. It's fun to still catch those. We have been catching some crappie, caught a perch, caught some catfish. And this last week we did catch a 28.5 inch walleye. So that was kind of cool to catch and take some photos and release her back in the water. So, it's just, you got to put your time in and, you know, I guess not have the super high expectations, but just go out and enjoy the day.
And you also have to be open, you know, like anything, you know, if your game plan's not working, you got to have something else.
I tell you what, I've been running a lot of different presentations, usually at Glenda. I mean, I've pulled worm harnesses. I've pulled slow death. I've pitched plastics. I've been swim baits. I've done twister tails. I've been throwing the jerk bait because I just kind of like that bite. And I haven't had a very good bite until this last week. And finally, that bite kicked in for me. So, I mean, you have to be versatile and, you know, you've got to be able to move around. And, you know, I don't worry about how much fuel I'm burning. I'll go all the way from Elkhorn down to airport and down to the dam. So, you know, you got to move around. You got to look at different structure. And when you do catch a fish, kind of pay attention to, you know, your water depth, the structure that you're fishing, whether you're over weeds or off of rocks. And then, you know, try to duplicate that throughout the lake on different areas.
So it really, it's a game. It's a strategy. It's, well, that's why you enjoy the fishing life, right? I mean, it's
a challenge, you know. I mean, like, you know, most of us are pretty competitive in our lives, and no different than getting on a boat with your buddy, and, you know, and it's like, all right, it's going to be a dollar for the first, the biggest, and the most, you know.
And I'm over here, I'm just drinking beer. That's fine.
That is true.
Well, make sure if you're heading out on the water, stop on here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Well, today we are joined by Pete Natson with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and we're really kind of, Pete, I guess on high alert right now because of everything going on. And for those that aren't familiar, there is a bill or a possibility, I guess, that Senate wants to sell off up to 3.2 million acres of our public lands. And that's just not cool. And Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, who, of course, big part of the Corner Crossing case going through over the last few years, they don't want to see that happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, in terms of public access and public opportunity for hunting and fishing, this is about as bad as it gets.
It gets a little spooky because obviously in Wyoming and in some of the states surrounding us, public land's very important for the outdoor men and women to be able to not just hunt and fish, but to get out and get exercise and really freely roam about. And this could really deter that from happening here in Wyoming.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does sound a little bit extreme, but this has the potential to change our Wyoming way of life.
So one of the things that I've talked to a few people about it, and they're like, well, I just haven't studied up on it yet. I haven't really taken a lot of time to see what this is all about. And for those that maybe are just hearing about this for the first time, what does this possibility, how could it really affect us here in Wyoming?
So I'll give a little bit of a backstory for folks that may or may not know about this issue. But essentially, the idea is that the Senate is willing to put our public lands up for sale, to put the majority of that money towards our deficit and our national debt. So this is not a new issue. It has been brought up several times in the past from one particular senator out of Utah, Senator Mike Lee. And he is the one who has reintroduced this into the big beautiful bill as an addition. In order for the big beautiful bill to pass the House, they took the public land sale out. So we actually have fought this battle before and won just a few weeks ago. But Senator Mike Lee was brave enough to reintroduce it and unfortunately make some what he would call improvements, but what we would call some major changes that affect us in a much more negative way. So I say us as American citizens, this is not a political issue in my mind at all. This is an American issue. These public lands belong to every single American citizen that lives in loves this country. So it is a phenomenal asset, and in terms of value, it is invaluable in so many ways. Like you mentioned, not only do we go out there to hunt and fish and to recreate and to exercise, it's also where we grow a lot of our food. A lot of the ranches are made up of public lands in one way or another. And it's also a huge contributor to our Wyoming economy. It's also a huge draw to get people to move to our state to help us improve as a state and as a community. People aren't moving here for the wind and the weather. They are moving here for the endless opportunities, or seemingly so, to enjoy our public lands, whether that be hunting and fishing or hiking and camping or, cruising in your side by side, riding your horses, whatever it may be. There are many, many different activities that take place on these public lands. So it's not just a hunting and fishing issue either. This is as big as it gets.
So 3.2 million acres, that is a lot of acreage. Is that solely Wyoming? Is it mostly the West? Are there other parts of the country that are affected by this too?
Yeah, so the proposal is roughly 2 to 3 million acres would be put up for sale. And mandated to be sold within the next 5 years and posted for sale every 60 days, kind of a declaration of the parcels that would be available to purchase. They've also put some certain stipulations on those purchases, such as, one person or one entity can only purchase up to two pieces of property, whereas any landowner who owns public land and has it surrounded is able to purchase as many as they want. So it does limit the public from being able to make some of these purchases and certainly gives an advantage to certain and specific landowners as well. So 2 to 3 million acres is a lot of land. We're talking about roughly a Yellowstone National Park and a half.
Wow.
It is not a small size of land. It is mostly geared towards the west right now. There's several versions of the maps of potential land that will become for sale if this ends up passing. It is concentrated in Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona. Montana is excluded from this bill, and from this proposal. So the thinking behind that is that Senator Mike Lee has heard Representative Zinke and Representative Sheehy of Montana in their hard stance against public land sales. And in hearing them, he has excluded Montana from this proposal in hopes that they will agree with this proposal and end up voting yes, and that he will get it passed with their votes. So that is very interesting. They're able to exclude Montana, but not Wyoming. And basically, the rest of the West is up for sale if this passes.
Which is kind of wild because speaking of wild, Wyoming is very wild. You know, I mean, a lot of public lands here, a lot of federal lands, a lot of state lands. So, I mean, this could really affect Wyoming. Now, you know, I know this. These are situations where I don't want to get on a political line on this. I just wanted people to know how important it is and how much of the state could be affected by this situation that's happening now.
Yeah, yeah, it is going to make a huge impact. Like we were saying, you know, these are lands that are eligible. There's several versions of the map out there. Apparently, there's no official map. I sure wish there was one that was released. But it does designate a lot of National Forest and BLM land in Wyoming as eligible for sale, and some prime, pristine recreation areas currently in use and beloved by many, many, many people. Places like Ten Sleep Canyon, for instance, Wyoming Range, the Bighorn Mountains. So these are not random parcels spread out throughout the state that might be better used for other things. These are, you know, what we've come to love and appreciate as Wyoming citizens, and what we should really cherish as American citizens as well. So we do stand to lose a lot if this bill does go through. And one of the things I've heard often is that, you know, the feds don't need to control this land, and it should go to the states. And what I like to tell people is that we are the feds. The federal government works for us. These public lands belong to the public and not to the Senate. As far as I'm concerned, what's happening right now is sidestepping laws in place that were put in place to prevent things like this. So there's a lot of political involvement with this decision, and it's faced a lot of public opposition. I'm really thankful for that. It's been really encouraging to see the amount of people who have come out and spoken out against this and made calls to senators and representatives and emails. And I know there's more of that action coming, but we need to do all we can to make sure our voices are heard and remind these senators and representatives that they do work for us and represent us. And it certainly is hard to see how this is not benefiting a very few and specific group of people. So I really hope our senators and representatives listen to the American public and the Wyoming citizens. I've reached out to our senators here in the state and basically heard nothing but support for this from them. So I encourage Wyoming citizens always to reach out to their senators and tell them what's on your mind and remind them that they are supposed to represent you as civil servants.
You know, one of the things behind this is you have to do your research. You can listen to Pete and I talk about this. You can, you know, hear numbers thrown around, but if you don't go and read the legislation and read what could happen and where it could happen, then you're kind of doing yourself a disservice. I mean, if you call and get behind this without knowing what you're getting behind, then you kind of have done yourself wrong, I think, just so that you're fully informed and prepared for what could happen.
Certainly. Yeah. Don't just take my word for it or anybody else's out there. I encourage people, read the bill. It's spelled out there black and white, and there's no debating what's written on that paper or on that screen. So yes. Yeah. By all means, please educate yourself and do your best in terms of representing yourself and your opinion and that of your community when you speak to these senators.
So, Pete, when we talk about the Bighorn Mountains being a part of what could be sold off, I mean, that's just could be detrimental to so many different people that use that to hunt, to fish, to recreate. I mean, there are tons of people that wait every year just to go to the Bighorns and spend that vacation there. It could be horrible on that type of part of people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not just part of some people's lives, but some people's lives entirely. You know, some of our small mountain Wyoming towns rely heavily on our outdoor recreation economy and tourism and things like that. The tourists are coming here to see wildlife and see our beautiful places. Most of those are in public lands, you know, so it can be very detrimental, not just to our way of life, but to certain towns, economies. It will certainly have an impact on jobs and, You know, one of the arguments I hear is that it's going to go towards affordable housing, and that is a stipulation. But there's a really big gray area in some of those stipulations and what this land needs to be used for. Some people think that's an intentional gray area. And then the other issue is that after 10 years, all of that goes away anyway, and it can be used for whatever the owner sees fit. And there is no mandated access for the public once it's sold. It is sold and gone. And there's a very good chance the U.S. government is not going to try and buy this back once they sell it. And so that's the thing. When we lose these lands, when they're sold off, we get nothing as American citizens and as citizens of Wyoming, where a lot of these public lands lie. You know, 90% of the money is supposed to go towards our national debt, the deficit. As far as I know, it's not going to be much more than $10 billion, they estimate, in terms of sales, which is truly a drop in the bucket, and will not make a significant impact in those numbers at all, as far as I'm concerned. Again, not an accountant, but you can imagine, you know, the amount of debt we're faced with as a nation, and just, you know, even $50 billion is not substantial, and certainly not worth losing what we stand to lose. Again, recreation, ranching, all of the things that make Wyoming, Wyoming, but they're also invaluable for a lot of different reasons and for reasons yet undiscovered. Once these places are gone, they do not come back. So we will lose a lot if these lands end up being put up for sale. So
Pete, how can folks get involved? What's the best way to take action?
Yeah, so one of the best ways to get involved is to reach out to your senators. Our senators here in Wyoming are Senator Barrasso and Senator Glumas. They know my opinion, and I sure hope they know yours. It's no secret. You can reach out to representatives from other states as well. Representative Sheehy and Representative Zinke are kind of two that we've narrowed down that may or may not be on the fence on this issue. You can certainly take place in some of the protests that will be taking place over the next week or so, and let your voice be heard through that. Some of these protests and call-ins, we're shooting for 25,000 calls into the Capitol switchboard, which is a number you can call any day of the week. Somebody answers almost right away. You ask for your senator's office, you're directed to their office where a staff member answers, or you can leave a voicemail. So it's very easy to get in touch with these folks. And I think it's very important as American citizens to take place or to take action and to take part in this process. And I can't think of a much better issue than this one to start getting involved with.
Yeah. So if this it strikes you at all, make sure go check out backcountryhunters.org. There's a whole page that's dedicated to flood the lines, which this trying to be pulled off on 6/25, which is Wednesday of next week. All of the call-in information, all of everything that you need is right there. If you love public lands and you want to get behind this, encourage you to do your research and get over there and check it out again, backcountryhunters.org. And I know, Pete, I know the whole organization has been really fighting a lot over the last 3 or 4 years for these public lands and has made great leeway over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes. Yeah. Really proud of the work we've done as an organization and really appreciate the support from Wyoming and sportsmen and women from across the country, ultimately, in some of these cases. But it seems like we take one step forward, two steps back in terms of these political battles that we're faced with. So yeah, backcountryhunters.org is a great website. It does spell out some of the basic information, but again, you can read the bill yourself. And that take action page on backcountryhuntersandanglers.org makes reaching out to your senator super easy. It takes about 30 seconds to fill out the form. There's a form letter that you're more than welcome to make some edits to and let your voice be heard really easily.
Very good. Pete Madsen, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, thanks again for all you guys are doing, and thanks for keeping me in the loop. I always enjoy hearing from you and knowing that you guys are out there fighting for us.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. We sure appreciate it.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.